shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian Plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Welcome to what promises to be an outstanding version of the Nocturnal Journal tonight. In the next hour, we're going to pay tribute to our members from the Nakapuna Ukulele Club here on the north side of Chicago. The Nocturnal Journey is back for a quick little trip to the Coconut Tiki Bar Hotel Motel. It's north of Montreal, Tim. There's a road trip for us.
I'd love to go there.
And our first guest is, we go way back, Tim Tutt, one of the co-owners of The Hideout, probably the live music club in Chicago. Thanks for coming in, Tim.
Oh. Yeah, do I put the headphones
on? No, just put the mic close to your mouth there. It's good to see you.
It's great to be here. Thank you very much for having me here.
Yeah, well, I wanted to do, there's a lot, we want to plug the Hideout Block Party, which is September 23rd and 24th, and we can handicap that in a little bit. I wanted you to spend some time with us. You can be with us for a while. But I wanted for new listeners or people who aren't familiar, why don't we do Hideout 101? And, you know, when I've interviewed you before for the paper and stuff, it's just, I remember you and Katie just hanging out at Weeds when I was a misguided journalist drinking shots of tequila on jazz night on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And I just remember you guys sitting there and saying that was your dream, I think specifically, to do the Hideout because Katie's dad hung out there and stuff. So talk about your dream of starting this place a long, long time ago.
Well, I can tell you that, first of all, it's great that you mentioned Weeds. Weeds was a huge important place for me. I graduated from college in 1983.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to the University of South Dakota.
Oh, okay.
And if we really want to go back, I could go back to where I was born and how I came to be and how the Hideout came to be. But my mom was a farm girl from Redfield, South Dakota.
See, I was going to ask you about your parents. I don't think I ever asked you that. Yeah.
My mom was a farm girl from Redfield, South Dakota. She they lost the farm during the Depression, and in World War II, she came to Chicago to work on the Milwaukee Road. She worked as a clerk out in the Aberdeen, South Dakota train station, and when all the men were going off to war, they started bringing in the farm girls from all over the railroads across the country. My mom came in to work at Union Station here in Chicago, and she worked her way up to being in the engineer's office. And which we never forgot. She would always say, I wasn't a ticket taker. I worked with the engineers, and I helped them reroute the tracks out to Bensonville. It was a big project that she worked on. And my dad grew up on a little tiny dirt farm in South Carolina, in Early Branch, South Carolina. And I just got back from there 2 weeks ago from a family reunion. I think about him all the time. I'm talking to my cousins, my uncles and aunts are in their 80s and 90s.
Good for you. Yeah.
And my grandma lived to be 104, and they all live down there. My dad's the only one that came to Chicago. And so with the hurricane coming, Irma, you know, they're on our minds. I guess I point that out because I grew up country and Western, and that was the joke that we kind of had. And my interest in country music and all that, in part, came from them. But anyway, they met in Chicago.
Yeah, how'd they meet? I was going to ask you.
They met. This is the classic story of Chicago. People migrated here from the country. My dad's part of the Great Migration from the South. And he moved to Uptown, lived in a cheap apartment, a boarding house in Uptown with a bunch of other Southern hillbilly types.
And, of course, when there was a lot of country music around.
They had country bars there and all these country folks and so anyway, he lived in Uptown, and he was staying at a boarding house owned by a family called the Hurleys from Redfield, South Dakota. And they told my dad he needs to meet this little girl who's from Redfield. And they met at the Edgewater Beach Hotel.
Oh, really?
At a Catholic youth organization.
That's where my parents had their honeymoon.
That was, they had a CYO big band dance there. And my mom and dad met there. And actually, my mom was absolutely a super fan, a total juggalo, for Lawrence Welk. And Lawrence Welk, and he had a guy from Roslyn, South Dakota, the accordion player Myron Florin. My mother knew Myron Florin, And she was able, they would go to the Trinidad Ballroom, right. The Aragon. They would see,
my folks did that, yeah.
They
yeah.
would see Lawrence.
How old are they?
My parents, my mom was born in 1920, my dad in 1925, and they've since passed away.
Okay.
But it was, my dad, it was really interesting. My dad was more into country, but my mom, you know, you think of Western music, but my mom's idea of Western music was like Lawrence Welk and accordion music. And German accordion music and polka and things like that. But anyway, so they met with music at the Edgewater Beach. And then they got married and they had four kids. We were all born at Weiss Memorial Hospital in Uptown on Foster Avenue and Foster and Lakeshore Drive. And I was born in 1960. And while my parents were, while my mom was pregnant with me, my dad got a VA loan. And they bought a house in Morton Grove.
Okay. Right.
And so all my brothers and sisters were all born in Chicago. They all lived at 25 at that time at 2501 North Kildare, which is just west of Pulaski by Logan Square. And then they moved to Morton Grove, and then I grew up Morton Grove and Glenview.
So when I met you, what were you doing at Weeds? I mean, where were you at in your life? You had not opened the Hideout yet, so what were you doing at Weeds on a Thursday night?
So what I was doing literally was I got out of college in 1983, and I was 22 years old. And I got to tell you, Dave, this is no kidding, man. I read the Sun-Times, and it might have been Dave's Dawn Patrol. And it was
that came after Nocturnal Journal.
So there's what really happened was Dawn Patrol was before.
I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah, it's
I read an article that you wrote, and my brother Tom and I were ne'er-do-wells, and we used to just cruise around looking for cool bars to go to, and all we did in the 80s, I mean, we went to the blues bars and the jazz clubs, and we wanted to find all the real bars, and we went to Weeds on a Sunday. I think you wrote about it on a Friday.
Yeah.
And my brother and I drove over to Weeds on a Sunday afternoon at noon. And I go, okay, this place sounds cool, and we got to check this thing out. And what we did was we were doing kind of an advanced scope out, because some of the times being kids from, I don't know, Glenview, it's like, let's make sure this isn't too dangerous on a Friday night. So we went there on a Sunday afternoon around noon, and the door was open, and it was Paulie.
Oh yeah, I remember Paulie. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and Pete. And you remember Pete?
Yeah, right. Pete. Yeah.
And so we went in, and all the bar stools were up, and he was mopping up, and I said, "Hey, are you opening? Or are you open? Or what's going on?" And he goes, "No, no, we're not open. No." And so we were like, oh, and he goes, do you want a beer? What do you want? What are you doing here, you know? And so we're like, we'll take a beer. And so my brother, my first time at Weeds was on a Sunday afternoon at noon watching Paulie mop the floor while we were drinking Old Styles.
Now, we're in heaven. In terms of geography, Weeds isn't that far from the Hideout. So,
no,
yeah,
it's not.
Were you, I mean, I know Katie had some history with the Hideout. So when did the Hideout come on your radar? And, well, I mean, would you go to Weeds and go over and look at the Hideout? Was the Hideout open then?
So what happened was it was 1984 when that happened. And I became a high school teacher. And so I got assigned. They asked me. Back in those days, today, you go to a high school, you apply, you turn in a resume, you go to the principal, you're properly interviewed. Back in the 80s, you would go downtown. You would go to Pershing Road, actually, and you would turn in a one-page typed-up resume. And the person would say, where do you want to go? And I just said, I'll teach anywhere. And they said, you got no restrictions? And I thought, like, what do you mean? What do you mean, like, restrictions? And they said, north side, south side, west side. Yeah. And I said, I'll go anywhere. I want to teach. I want to be a high school teacher. So they said, okay, check out this place. So I ended up, long story short, at Near North High School in Cabrini Green, which was right across the street from Weeds.
Oh, yeah. We got to take a break. But remember that? I mean, you go to Weeds and there'd be people from Cabrini. It was a great crowd at Weeds in those early days. Cabrini Green people and stuff. We got to take a break. This is great, Tim.
Right.
we'll be back after some commercials here on Nocturnal Journal.
What can't you see? You're going to
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720 with our friend Tim Tutton, co-owner of the Hideout. What do you call that neighborhood now? It keeps changing names.
We call it the PMD.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's Planned Manufacturing District.
But it's like near north. Something.
It's not a neighborhood.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And sometimes when we see it listed, sometimes it will say things weird like Noble Square,
yeah,
or
right.
Town, or something weird. And I've asked like all the old timers around. I'm like, "What's this neighborhood?" They're like, "It's nothing. This is North Branch. This is the PMD." So we're between Lincoln Park and Bucktown.
Yeah. What's the address?
It's, it's 1354 West Wabansia. Yeah.
And that was John Langford. We played there with Skull Orchard. So he's going to be at the block party.
Yes.
You want to give a – we're going all over the place, but talk about the block party a little bit on the 23rd and 24th of September.
This block party is our 21st annual block party, and we are going to have – it's 2 days this year. We're having it on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is going to be a bunch of people. Okay, in 1957, Sputnik was launched.
Right.
And so that is an image that John Langford always uses in lots of his art, because John Langford was born in 1957 in October. And so he was born just days after Sputnik was launched. And so we were thinking, Rick Rizzo from 11th Dream Day was talking about, let's this year have a 60th birthday party for a bunch of people. So Rick Rizzo from 11th Dream Day is turning 60. John Langford from Skull Orchard, Waco Brothers, Four Lost Souls, he's turning 60. We have Tara Key from Antietam. We have Rick Brown from $75 Bill. We have, this is so crazy, the only band not from Chicago, YOLO Tango. And they're going, they're under their pseudonym of Condo something. And they, one of the members is turning 60. Sue Miller, the old owner of Lounge Jack, not the old owner, but the old Club Lounge X. She's turning 60. She'll be bartending. So when we talked about, let's call it a 60th birthday party, people thought that was, no, don't say how old we are, even though they've been open about how old they are. So we thought about, let's celebrate Sputnik, because Sputnik was one of the great things the Russians did that helped lead to the space race. And if not for Sputnik, America would have never got on the moon. And so since the present administration believes that the Russians are somebody who should be honored and all of the great things that they've done, don't worry about the Russians. Sputnik was on a spy satellite by the current administration's interpretation. Sputnik was an incentive to have for us to go to the moon. So we're going to celebrate Sputnik. And we're having a Sputnik birthday party. So that's why we're calling it Sputnik's birthday party. Eli's Cheesecake, also, the awesome, great cheesecake guys, they're going to also make a cake.
Now, I want to point out, and sometimes people forget this or don't realize, it's $20, but you always give the money to charity after expenses and stuff.
Proceeds are going to the Foundations of Music,
mm-hmm.
and they're this just great organization. Most people know them for Rock for Kids.
Right.
It's an annual concert. They do it during the holidays. But Foundations of Music all year long is supporting music programs in Chicago public schools. And so our block party is a donation. Literally, it's free if you want to come in. But if you want to donate anything, the money's going to go to Foundations of Music.
Now, you know me. I'm a well-researched journalist, right, Tim? So what is this? Yeah. Is this year's Hideout Block Party the last hurrah? I think that was in Chicago Magazine, at least online. I think their point was, I read this, the lot you have in that, tell the listeners, that's a city lot and it's been sold.
That's great.
I also remember we did our Farm Aid book. I liked it when you had it right in front of the club and stuff. So
that's right.
What does this mean? Is this year's Hideout Block Party, or is this just clickbait?
That, I think, is...
I'm showing it right to you.
Clickbait. They put a question mark.
Yeah.
The Hideout is, we don't know. Look, we never know from year to year what we're going to do. We don't have a long-term plan. We never did. If we did, we would own clubs all over the world and would have franchised Hideouts in Shanghai, Tokyo, Abu Dhabi, there'd be one
kind
on
like
the top
like,
of the Burj
like
Dubai.
Hooters, kind of like a Hooters.
Yeah, you know, if we knew what we were doing, but we basically live day to day, show to show. So every year we have this thing where we do a block. The first year we were like, hey, let's throw a barbecue. And we did that in the lot next door. And every year we just kind of figured out. Literally last year was our 20th anniversary. And we said, okay, we're done. We're not doing this. And because it's fun and it's great and it's an awesome time, but we always have to worry about, is it going to rain and logistical stuff, right? Mm. And so anyway, last year we're like, all right, we're going to get to 20 and we're done.
That's
and
right,
then
yeah.
Rick Rizzo said, hey, what about a 60th birthday party this year? And Steve Albini said, I love this year's block. Last year, he said, a few months ago, man, I love last year's block party. It was just stripped down, stage in front of the bar, old school. What if we do a 20th anniversary for Electrical Audio Studios? And what kind of happened was our block party grew and grew and grew. And it kind of hit me a couple years ago. We were really big. We were out on the parking lot that was just sold that the city had. And we would have 7,000, 8,000 people and all these big bands. And it was just a lot of work.
It was.
Okay. But it was a lot of fun. But on the Friday night of the 2014 block party, which was the last one we did in the parking lot, a massive rainstorm came down. And it was just torrential, these rainstorms that were getting torrential. And so the band that was – one of the bands that was playing that night said, okay, we're done. We're out of here. This is a joke. You know, we're in here. We're in a parking lot. It's surrounded by garbage trucks. It was an out-of-town band. And so I said, no, we can't. The clouds are going to split. It's the Hideout. Everything is going to go good. John Langford has to play. And it was John Langford's Bad Luck Jonathan band.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Which was this out-of-control pirate band. Should I stop?
Yeah, we're going
to. He's looking at me like, okay, got it.
Now, that's something to put on tape. I got you to stop. Everybody was worried about that with your legendary introductions at the club. Yeah. We're going to take a break for David Jennings. Thank you so much for coming in. You really ramp up my energy. I'm usually laid back on this show, but thank you, Tim Tutton. We'll be back with more of Tim after David Jennings in the news. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. We're with Tim Tutton, co-owner of The Hideout. That's 11th Dream Day, who will be at The Hideout Block Party September 23rd and 24th. You know, we were talking during the break. I'd like you to explain a little bit about, we kind of sped over a lot of stuff, but the template. We were talking about hanging out at Weeds. So The Hideout being one-third Fitzgerald's, one-third the late Lounge Acts, and one-third Weeds. And That kind of holds that vibe today. Talk about what you mean when we split it up in those threes.
Yeah, I mean, that literally was. Those were clubs. There was a lot of things in my mind. But The Hideout, so you know, it's my father-in-law, Tom Nicholson, his best buddy, Tom Shaughnessy, worked across the street. What is now the City Fleet Management Building used to be the U.S. Steel Plant. And his best friend, Tom Shaughnessy, sold steel rebar. And Tom Nicholson, my father-in-law, sold rocks. And the two of them used to meet each other at construction sites where one was there with the steel and the other was there with the rocks, and they'd hang out at The Hideout. They started hanging out at The Hideout in the 60s. And then Katie and I, we moved right up in North Avenue to Honorary Street in Bucktown in the mid-80s. And that's when she asked her dad said, well, you guys are living, I got a little Hideout around there. And so we thought it was a Hideout. We didn't know it was called The Hideout. There's no name on it.
Yeah.
And Katie searched everywhere. We both searched everywhere. We could never find it. One day Katie went in and she caught Tom Shaughnessy in there. And that's how we found The Hideout in the 80s. And so at the time in the 80s, obviously, we were going to Weeds. We were going to Fitzgerald's. And to me, the dream, the ultimate pinnacle, and it is to this day, this is no exaggeration, and I've told Bill Fitzgerald and Kate Fitzgerald this, It's Fitzgerald's. That was the idea of what our dream was to have a real club that was real American. I mean, the Americana Music Fest, the whole scene at Fitzgerald's was the dream that we had. And at the same time, we were going to Weeds, and I always liked the weirdness of the jazz and the poetry and Sergio Mayora and, Gregorio Gomez. And I loved that scene. And so whereas Fitzgerald was the perfect American roadhouse, Weeds to me was like this crazy bohemian out of control place. Yeah. And there in between, then you have Lounge X. Yeah. And that was happening. I lived initially actually right by it. And there it was, in Lincoln Park.
And all smaller, intimate places, very much a presence.
The history of Chicago is the history of owner-operated clubs.
Right. Yeah.
And that is what, Sue Miller and Julia Adams owned Lounge X. Sergio Mayora's extended family owned Weeds. Bill Fitzgerald and Fitzgerald's owned that. So they were owner-operated. And what I loved about it was that these clubs were old school owner operated mom and pop operations, and yet they were doing the most psychedelic punk rock, hardcore country, New Orleans, all this stuff was happening. And I thought, like, the history of Chicago is like the, I remember going to the Checkerboard Lounge the other clubs, and I would talk to the owners, and it would be, L.C. Thurman. And I remember watching, Buddy Guy and talking to L.C. and just being like, what's it like? How do you do it? Oh, it's messed up, kid, man. Think twice about what you're doing here. Yeah. And they would always joke and stuff, but I was always drawn to them. So anyway, but those three clubs, the thought was, how can we're rock and roll, we're going to be country, Americana, and yet there's going to be jazz and poetry and this weird sense of humor. And those are the three places that made the Hideout.
We've got about 5 minutes left. There's so much I want to cover. But one thing I've always talked about you when I've written about you is the Hideout as a social incubator, an exchange of ideas. You have such a commitment to community.
Yeah.
Talk about that, and maybe talk about some events that are coming up that illustrate that.
Well, Katie's a social worker, all right? And now she works for a social service agency, and I'm a high school teacher. And our friends Mike and Jim, they were supportive of this. But from the very beginning, we always just looked at it as like neighborhood bars do fundraisers and cool stuff for people. And so, the Hideout, every single week, every single day since the beginning, we've been doing events. And I don't look at it like I always thought it was weird that a club or a venue would say, hey, we're doing a benefit, so you should be thank us for doing a benefit. Tonight, this month, we are going to do a show where money is going to help, kids. And I always thought, growing up the way I grew up, well, aren't you supposed to give 10% of everything? Aren't you supposed to always be given? It's always, so I just looked at it as part and parcel of the whole thing. And I don't know, it's the old Saturday night and Sunday morning coming down kind of thing. It's like Saturday night, you party Sunday morning. I don't know, but the Hideout.
Tell anybody who's on the road right now and is in the neighborhood, tell us what's going on tonight. I think, and you're doing some DACA stuff. And I mean,
tonight is a good example of how it's all with a sense of humor, but it's like the Chicha Summit is there, Dos Santos, Anti-Beat Orchestra, Money Chicha. It's all bands that are bilingual, that they're predominantly Mexican-Americans who perform in bands. They do rock, but they put together this summit. We have Marchanta doing pop-up tacos, but these are all bands that, they're straight-up rock bands, but they're also they're very concerned about DACA. And it's not like the show is a fundraiser for DACA, but the show is a show that represents the diversity and how a real community.
Of that are people getting together and galvanizing and coming up with plans and talking to each other face to face.
I mean, I just always thought what makes it better is that there's some purpose to it. On Sunday,
okay, good.
Tomorrow night is the Free Cons, all right? And that is the Me Cons another John Langford project with Sally Timms and other members of the Mekons, are teaming up with Freakwater. So here's Janet Bean and Catherine Irwin from Kentucky. And these women are supporting the People for the Commonwealth, which is an organization down in Kentucky to help coal miners in Kentucky and other people get health care. And John Langford comes from Wales. And the very first time I even heard of the Mekons was in the 80s when Katie, my wife, was helping with other people to put together a benefit for the coal miners in England in the 80s when they were striking against Margaret Thatcher. Uh-huh. And the Mekons were just leaders in the punk rock era about supporting the coal miners. And so actually Sunday and Tuesday, we're going to do this hilarious, awesome, great show, mm-hmm. which is a mashup of the Freakons and the Mekons, Freakwater mm-hmm. and the Mekons. But the money, all the money, is going to help People for the Commonwealth down in Kentucky.
Okay, we got about a minute left. Give us the website. Give us the address. And
The address is 1354 West Wabansia, Chicago, Illinois, 60642. And then hideoutchicago.com is our website. And, there's a lot of great things that are happening there. And,
I tipped you off, but in a little bit of time, how do you hang in there? 21 years. I mean, I've been talking to Bill about this. When do you how do you find the energy to keep it going? Or is it a group of four? You all feed off each other. I know there's
so the it's really a gang of 50.
Yeah,
and
right.
What we are really lucky with is that the Hideout, our staff comes, and we used to joke nobody quits; they just go on tour, and so. People like Lawrence Peters, Andrea Yablonsky, Lily Emerson. We have, you know, and then
you,
we have
and
a
you've been a great
generation.
Place for artists to work in there. Kelly Hogan's worked there. Nico worked there, you know.
And Kelly Hogan is back in Chicago, and she's going to be at the Hideout with Scott Legan every Monday night in October, November, December. That we're going to have a series called Friends of the Flat Five that's going to kind of pick up where Robbie Folks.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, Steve Dawson is really kicking it off this month on Mondays. And then we're going to have this whole gang of this whole group of people, this community musicians, every Monday night. Yeah.
You're the best, Tim. You want to come back whenever
Fitzgerald is the best.
Whenever we're back on the air, why don't you come back?
Sergio Mayora are the best. We just stand on the shoulders.
Sergio was on last week. He sang a song for us. So thank you, Tim.
The greatest generation.
Yeah, and thanks. We'll see you at the Hideout.